Sorry about that, but that's what old age does to you. It was a cold, cold night on the channel. We'd been all night long. We'd been on the Henrico ship. The entire 2nd Battalion was on the Henrico. Excuse me. It was the guys that had been all night long writing love letters home. Those of us that had been through the other invasions were trying to comfort and make sure that the replacements that we had and trained were ready. So they fed some food on the ship that night, but no one really was too hungry. So they just continued standing around on the ship with so many on it that you didn't have a place to sleep or anything like that. And we went in, we anchored 10 miles off the coast of France. And when we dropped anchor there, I went down and checked every one of my men, checked their equipment, made sure that they had their life preservers and that everything was ready. I talked to the replacements and tried to make sure that they were okay and not showing any kind of fright of that thing, but usually our 1st Division soldiers don't show fright. So that part of it was fine. Then I went up on deck, and when I went up on deck, I looked out and I could not believe how many ships were out there. It looked like the whole world Navy was out there. And my brother was standing up on the deck. And so we talked for a small while there. Gee, would I get a glass of water here? See if I can get it up here. Thank you so much. Yeah. It seemed to clear up here. And I talked to Bill for a few minutes, and we discussed the other invasions that we'd had and how lucky we were. Even though we were wounded in Sicily and in Africa, we were lucky enough to get through it all. And we agreed that if one of us didn't make it through this invasion, that the other one would take care of his family. The time then came for us. They put the nets down on the ship and time to each person to go to their station. So I met each one of my men as they come up and talk to them again and try to reassure them that this would be okay. And then we started going down the ladders, the nets, and the waves were about 4 to 5 feet high. And the Higgins boats that come in beside the Henrico were bumping up against the side. And we had two fellows in any boat that would just kind of stabilize the Higgins boat and hold the net as we went down in nets. So we had all our equipment on and went down the nets, got into the Higgins boats, and then until they could get that wave ready, the number of boats in that wave ready, they would rendezvous, and that meant going round and round out there with the waves, bumping the boat up and down, and many of the guys got seasick, and of course, when they get seasick like that, there's a lot of unpleasant stuff flying around. And when the wind was blowing, and if you wasn't sick yourself, it wasn't long before you were sick. So it was going in, and we did the 10 miles in as fast as we went in at full speed, as I understand. The waves were bad, so we had a lot of current to have to fight going in. And the guy, we were really, it wasn't much room on the boat to, on the Higgins boat to do anything but stand there. I was right to the, right up by the ramp on the left corner of the boat. And I had talked to my guys that to try to stay underwater when they got to the beach as far as possible. And they, we thought we had everything pretty well set and ready to go. So as we got in close to the beach, the firing from the battleships stopped just as we got in. Of course, that would have been too dangerous to still shell the beach, but they had been shelling the beach, and they threw some smoke down. And but when we got in, it, we could see, look ahead of us, and to the left of us, there was a German machine gun on the side of the hill. The land there, of course, as you goes up, it's a, quite a steep area going up. They had machine guns to the left, and then on the right, there were machine guns. And those were in plain view of us. And in addition to that, we had to worry about, all of us had to worry about trying to get into the beach, which was quite a different, getting through the water, getting into the beach. So there, as the Higgins boats got in, they dropped the ramp. I went off first, off the left corner, and jumped off into the water rather than try to walk off the ramp, because the bullets, you could hear the bullets coming in, hitting the ramp before we docked, before we got in. And we knew that if, when that ramp went down, that machine gun bullets would be coming into there. And also as we got off, the water was just, looked like hail hitting the water. There was no place that you could think of finding any safety there at all. And of course, the big guns, the artillery and mortars were firing in. So when I went off, I went under the water, and I went as far under the water until I ran into, they had all kind of obstacles there, cross ties and barbed wire underneath the water, and mines tied to the barbed wire and on top of the ties and crosses. So they had, it was really a spot that you couldn't say, I'll go here or there, because everything was covered. So I went under as far as I could go until I got to that, and then I had to come up. And when I came up out of the water, I got something went right through my right elbow, and that kind of shattered. It went right through, and where you bend, it was right in that section. So it didn't. Nothing I could do about that. So. We were still in the water, so it wasn't bleeding too bad, a little bit. So I went on, and I started trying to find my guys and get them so we could kind of get together and get organized. We had made plans, but in a situation like that, you have to remake plans, and you have to remake them a number of times, and you have to do it very quickly. So I talked to some of the guys when, as soon as I came up and got in where I could get them together, and we started. First thing we had to do is to find out all the guys that had gone in with the engineers that was dead on the beach, try to find those guys and find out whether they were dead or alive. Many of them were dead, and we, with those guys, we just had to leave them there and try to pull them up so they wouldn't float away in the waves. The next thing we had to start doing was keeping the guys from drowning that were coming in, our men, some, and the infantry. So that was quite a job, because the fellows had their heavy equipment on, and also some had two life preservers, and the life preservers would tip them, and they would turn up the wrong way, and some were drowning. So we had to get those guys. That was very important, to get those guys out, the infantry guys, and keep them moving. And so we worked on that as quick as we could. And all this time, other waves are coming in, and the shells are coming in, the machine guns are firing on the beach. And Germans had the snipers up on the hill shooting at the medics. And because that had happened to us before in Africa and Sicily, we did not wear crosses on our helmets as we went in. But we still had some of our guys, and not only our guys, but others that the Germans shot through the head, the snipers. So I kept working, and one of my, I finally went in, got a guy again, brought about five or six guys. I got hung up in different situations and got them out where they could walk in the water. And then I got up. As I went back in, something got me in the left thigh, quite a large wound there that went pretty much to the bone. And I got out of the water enough to put a tourniquet on it. But there was no way to treat it. The same with the other guys, with everything was wet. Sand was all over everything. And so if we'd go in, I went back in the water, getting guys, and one guy was hung up on the barbed wire, couldn't get out, and I knew he was going to drown. So the water there then was probably about 4 feet deep, and so I went down to try to get him out. And when I got down in the down there, I couldn't get him loose from the barbed wire, so I had to come up for air, and I went down again, and finally his life preserver was hung up, and I unbuckled his life preserver. Got him out. He was fine. We got him, picked up a rifle for him. It was all over the place. Gave it to him, told him to move out and join his company. E Company was beginning to move off the beach a bit. So I went back in, and as I went and got another guy that was... his left arm was pretty well shot off. I got him and brought him out to the drive, to the beach, wasn't dry, but out of the water. And I put a tourniquet on his arm and gave him a shot of morphine. And I went back in. And as I started back in, my left leg started really bothering me, and it was bleeding bad, really bad. And so I talked to one of my men and told him that I was getting very weak. But then there was a guy there in the water that was just waving his arm, and he was below water. So I went back in to get him. And when I got to him, I got him all right and got him in my arm. I was still using my arm. It wasn't hurting bad. Water was cold. I guess that helped. And I got him in my arm. And as I turned to go back out, another wave came in. And the boat that came in, when he dropped his ram, it hit me right in the back and pushed us both to the bottom. And at that time, at that time I realized that there's only one person in the world that could do, or in our lifetime, that could help me. And I asked God to give me strength to save one more man. So, sorry, I'll get over this. So anyway, I got the guy out of there. I crawled out. I held on to that guy. I got him when the ramp. After I had said that, the ramp went up. And today, I don't know whether the boat was in the wrong place or whether the firepower was so great there, right in that one spot, that they pulled out and went further east. I'm not sure. But anyway, the ramp did go up, and I was able to get the guy out there and save him. And then I was getting really bad. I had to crawl, and I could not go any further. So I called Ray Lepore over, or got close to him and yelled at him. He couldn't talk there, of course. And I told him to take over and continue to get the walking as he could, send them up back to their companies, get them moving, and those that are walking wounded, get them down to a big piece of concrete down that we saw, the only thing in sight, the only thing in sight. The Germans had cut everything out of the way. They were looking at us just as easy as you're looking at me here now. So I asked him to do that, and no sooner had I said that to him till he got a bullet right through the head, and he fell against me. And really bothered me a lot, because we've been together since 1940. And so I think I'll have a sip. If this was Calvados, I might be talking a little better. So after that, I talked to other guys. Myers was a company aid man. He was still on the beach. As many of us, we had to what our plan was for the company aid men to stay with their companies. They went in with their companies, but we'd all work together as fast as we could to get the infantry off of the beach. So we were all working together at that time. Some of the aid men were replacements. Some were doing a good job. Some were a little bit nervous about things, but they did a good job also. So I talked to Myers, and I said, I can go no further. I'm too weak to do that. So I passed out, and I don't really know how long I was out or who picked me up off the beach, but when I really came to after a period of time, I had not been out. I was not unconscious all that time, but I was just kind of out of it. And when I did come to, the first person who was talking to me was a naval doctor, and we were a Navy doctor. And so we were on the boats going back to England at that time, and he told me that there was another Lambert on there. And I knew that was my brother, because we were the only two in the 16th there at that time. And so we went back to England, and we both lived through it. My brother died in 2010. And so I was a very lucky man to make it through all that. But that's a little quick story of what happened. Thank you all.